What if the greatest threat to the move of God in your church isn't the culture outside of your walls, but the container you hold in your hands? What if the very structures we've built to carry the life of the Spirit have become the thing keeping it from flowing? Today we're talking about the wineskin Jesus said must be made new if it's going to hold the new wine he's pouring out. And for leaders like us in the Pentecostal, charismatic, Spirit-filled space, it's not just about growth, it's about readiness. And we're going to show you how this new wineskin paradigm can breathe life into your congregation and your leadership. How to honor the structure but carry the water of life to a thirsty world. And whether your church is in a season of momentum or in need of fresh life, this conversation is going to challenge, encourage, and reframe the way we think about leadership and structure. So stay with us because it's all right here, right now, and only on the Five Gifts Podcast. You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast.
Are you a Spirit-filled minister ready to take the next step in your ministry training? The Servant Leaders Cohort will help you earn your BA, MA, or DMin. We offer in-person instruction in a small group learning environment that is affordably priced. Instruction happens in monthly two-day intensives in the Triad of North Carolina. Degrees are approved and conferred by Vision Christian Bible College and Seminary. You can earn your bachelor's in 2 years, a master's in 15 months, or a DMin in 18 to 24 months. For more information, go to fivegifts.org/SLC.
Well, welcome to today's episode of the Five Gifts Podcast, where we equip Spirit-filled leaders to serve with fresh vision and renewed passion. I'm Charles Russell. I'm joined by my co-host, Bruce Ritter, and we're thrilled to have you here today. Bruce, we've had a busy week just getting back from our biannual General Council of the Assemblies of God, and I didn't hear the exact number, but it was well over 20,000 people, ministers, parents, teenagers, as we had our General Council, our National Youth Conference, and our National Fine Arts Festival, all of that convening together. And I don't know about you, I'm exhilarated from the week, but I'm pretty exhausted as well. But all in all, it was a great week, great experience.
Yeah, we enjoyed our time. It was fantastic to see presentations. We had quite a few of our kids that were involved in fine arts. They're doing everything from piano solos to flash fiction to even did Reader's Theater. So they really did good. We had one of our students, she merited. Shout out to Sydney Anderson for meriting the National Merit winner for classical piano, and just did a fantastic job. But really all of them represented the kingdom well. I thought they certainly showed a lot of class and a real heart, you know, the work they put into their presentations. And I've said it 1,000 times, I'm going to say it again. I just rejoice because each of these students that participated for us, they're serving weekly in our church, and we couldn't do a lot of things that we do if we didn't have their input. And so we're grateful for to go and to celebrate their achievements on the national level. And then last night at church, we had just a wonderful time with our leaders, reinitiating some new leadership training, and we spent a time just praying over one another, just sharing the words as the Holy Spirit would give them, and so I had so many of our leaders last night say this is just what I needed, this was so refreshing. And so I'm exhausted from a busy week and a busy weekend, and yet I'm exhilarated to think of just so many wonderful memories that have happened over that time.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it was a full day of ministry for us. Traveled to the central part of the state and just honored to preach and minister there at the church that supports us and we have a relationship with. But I'm just going to shout out my youngest daughter, Olivia, who was part of the National Fine Arts presentations as well. And she did, score the superior in her short sermon, which is the highest ranking you can get. She did worship leading, which that was a new category for her this year. And we've just been so thrilled watching the Lord develop her music abilities and her worship leading abilities. And then she did stand-up comedy first year at the national level to do that, and got the superior and finished fifth in the nation. So I told her, I said, you're the fifth funniest person in the Assemblies of God. She, typical teenage fashion, I got the side eye and the eye roll and all that stuff. But we're just so proud of her. She's developing in her gifts. It's like you said, it's a wonderful thing to see them present, but it's an even greater reality to watch these kids week to week in the local church. Yeah. Serving their gifts and using their gifts. And, we hear a lot about whether these are the youth and they're the future of the church. Man, I'm telling you, they're more than the future. They are in the moment. They are the present. And if I could say anything today that I think could be helpful, I think it would be this: pastor, leader, you have teenagers, young people in your church, to help them develop those gifts and let them use those gifts in the adult worship settings as well, just to infuse and bring new life and new energy and a new dimension of the life of Christ. And don't let them just serve in closed off rooms, but man, give them a place to express the life of Christ in those adult worship settings as well.
That's right.
Because I'm telling you, not only are they good, they have a heart that's passionate for the Lord. And so you have a great resource in the teenage and the next gen segment of your church. So, well, that's not at all what we're talking about today, but I just couldn't pass that up. What we are going to talk about today is we're diving into a paradigm that Jesus gave us. It's one that's essential for church revitalization in this moment, and one that you may have heard us refer to previously. What we're talking about is the new wineskin. This isn't just about changing a program or polishing our image. The Lord is inviting his leaders into a process of stretching, of cleaning, of refining, refreshing, all so that we can carry the new wine that he's pouring out. We're going to connect that to practical realities of revitalizing a Pentecostal charismatic church, how we shift culture, how we re-engage our people, and essentially how we see healthy growth. That's kind of the focus of where we're headed in today's episode.
Yeah, Charles A.W. Tozer once said the church was never intended to be a natural and intellectual organization, but a supernatural instrument, wholly dependent upon the power of God. And as I think about this paradigm, we're talking about facilitating that work of God in our churches. I know the upper room wasn't a strategy meeting in Acts chapter 2. It was a prayer meeting. And it birthed the movement of the Spirit. And that's exactly why the wineskin is so relevant, because the wineskin shows preparation and readiness, because it's the Spirit's life within us. It's not our structure that makes the difference. The wineskin facilitates the delivery. And many times I think we get that backwards. We think our church is the deal. And the truth is our church is just facilitating the life of the Spirit, whether it's our programs, our structure, our facilities, our systems. All it does is that facilitates the access of people in our community to the gospel and the life of the Spirit. So, Charles, as we get started today, if God fills people before he uses structures, what happens when the people are ready, but the structure isn't? And maybe even more importantly, what happens when the structure actually resists what the Spirit is trying to pour out? That's what we need to talk about, why new wineskins matter right now.
Absolutely. You're right, Bruce. Why is it that new wineskins matter now? Well, Jesus says in Luke chapter 5, verses 37 and 38, he says, "No one pours new wine into old wineskin." The truth is, new wine requires a fresh container. And in our context, that means spiritually renewed, healthy leaders, and healthy systems and structures. And the pattern seems that God always starts with people before he uses structures. He calls and fills leaders before he blesses and uses systems. Some of us have been trying to maintain an old wineskin, hoping that God will pour in fresh wine. But the truth is, the wineskin can't hold the new wine. It's a biblical pattern. God fills people before he forms structures. Throughout Scripture, God's move begins with and in people. Moses before the tabernacle, David before the temple, the apostles before the early church's governance. Structures are important, but they follow the Spirit's filling, not the other way around. The structure of Acts chapter 2, verse 42 came after Spirit baptism. So if we try to reverse that order, what we end up with are empty forms instead of Spirit-filled ministry. And so if God always starts with people before he uses structures, how do we know when our structures have stopped serving the Spirit's life? And then what happens when we focus more on the container than the contents? Bruce, any helpful ideas or thoughts with that?
Yeah, we're going to dive in a little more deeply onto the paradigm of the wineskin, but let's change it up a bit. Here's an image to keep in mind. If you imagine a bottle filled with fresh water, you know, our bodies are comprised the majority of water. Even our brains, I think I read somewhere that our brain is made up of over 78% water. And so water is a vital substance to life. And I think, you know, it's something people are clued into now. You see more and more people carrying water bottles. Yeti's making a killing on theirs, I think. So if we think of how the water represents the life of the Spirit, his power, his love, his presence, his activity when it comes to God's agenda and plan, just the life that the Spirit brings, the bottle represents our structures. It's the ministries, it's the programs, it's the events, it's your facilities, it's your lines of communication and lines of authority. And the bottle's important because it gets the water to the people, but if we start focusing on the bottle more than the water, you know, we end up handing people something that just can't nourish them. It doesn't bring them life. In fact, you know, if someone tries to ingest the bottle, they can eat the thin plastic bottle or the heavy metal structure if they're that radical. But what's going to happen? Well, that becomes toxic to them. And I think it's important to remember that what we deliver to people is within. It's the life of the Spirit within the structure, the systems, the ministries, the programs of our church. We don't feed people the structure of our church. In fact, I just want to say that can be deadly. It's not only is it not life-giving, it can hurt people. And time and time again, I think what bears out is that unrenewed ministries, organizations, ministries, churches, if they're continuing to feed people the structure of their ministry and not the Spirit within that wants to fill that ministry, then that's the recipe for disaster. And so when we talk about church revitalization, what we're talking about is making sure our people drink deeply of the waters of life, not just admiring the container. It's actually retooling the container so that it can be filled afresh with the life of the Spirit. Structures, systems, they always must serve the Spirit's life. They don't replace it. They can't replace it. And so if our structures are only meant to carry the water of the Spirit, then what exactly are the delivery systems God designed for that water? Charles, how do we make sure the flow is supernatural and not just organizational?
Well, I think a great place to begin to think about that is the fivefold ministry as a delivery system for the Spirit. So, you know, again, Ephesians chapter 4 gives us the five servant gifts of Christ. It's the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And what Bruce, what you and I believe, that every gift of the Spirit, prophecy, healing, miracles, tongues, wisdom, and on and on, it finds its expression in the five servant gifts of Christ. The Spirit flows through them to build up the body. And so as we think and talk and discuss church revitalization, what this means is we see ourselves as delivery systems for God's supernatural life. What that looks like is this. The apostle brings vision and alignment. The prophet stirs the presence of God. The pastor connects and heals. The teacher equips and forms. The evangelist gathers and reaches. And when all five of the gifts, when all five of these servant leadership gifts of Christ are active, then the wineskin is healthy and is able to carry the new wine into the harvest. If the fivefold gifts are God's delivery systems for his presence, what shape do they need to be in to carry the new wine? I think that's a good question to consider. And here's a part two of that. What's involved in becoming a wineskin that's ready for the pour? Help us out, Bruce.
Well, I think when we think about what it means to become a new wineskin, you know, that's a biblical image. And Charles, you referred to Luke 5:37. You know, all the synoptic gospels have this concept. Even John 1 talks about the difference between old wine and new wine there at the wedding at Cana. But, you know, in the image of the wineskin, Jesus says, no one puts new wine into old wineskins because the new wine will burst the wineskins and it will be poured out. And not only will the wine be lost, but the wineskin will be ruined. And so new wine has to be put into new wineskins. Now that has a specific context. You know, Jesus is talking about the life of the Spirit that comes in the new covenant. And the old system, the old traditions of the Pharisees and the Old Testament system that had been largely corrupted was just an old wineskin. It was an old structure, and it wasn't capable of holding the new life, the new initiative, the what Jesus gives. And so when we talk about ministry, we talk about keeping the new wine flowing in new wineskins. And so I think what we find over time is that structures that worked in one generation is a structure that's not as effective in a new generation. We see this, you know, even in water bottles. You know, back in the day, you had a water cooler, and we still have water coolers today, but back in the day, bottled water was a water cooler at work. And usually there was no thought to that being, a certain alkalinity or having any kind of supplements in it. But today, you know, there's a whole market for healthy water. So things like that change over time, just in the marketplace. But, you know, in the church, I think there's a lesson for us, and that is, you know, what worked in one generation may not be as effective in a new generation. And so what God is doing in one generation could be facilitated by a church structure and church systems that were catered and built and designed in a certain way to fit those cultures. But in a new generation, I think we need to give thought to, renewing the wineskin. And so in the Bible, wineskins were created to store wine, that because wine has that fermenting quality over time. And wineskins were better than jars because they could expand. They were made of animal hide. And the truth is, though, they were only reusable a few times because everything has a stretching limit. I think in science it was called the elastic limit, the point at which it can be stretched no further, because then it breaks. But in the Semitic culture of the Bible, making wineskin was actually quite an elaborate process, because things like poverty necessitate. We've got to be able to use these wineskins and get as much out of them as we can. So the wineskins would be put to a process of deep cleaning, of scraping away old residue, rigorous stretching, and maybe most importantly, immersing it in cold river water to keep the hide as the elasticity factor just as strong and as long-lasting as possible. And I think that's a picture of the Spirit's work in leaders and churches. I think there's a lot we can take from that. You know, it's never a good idea to stretch a biblical example too far, but I think we're within reason here to think about how wineskins were renewed. They were renewed by cleaning. And I think it's important to remember that for us, we've got to be careful to remove attitudes and habits and practices that no longer serve the mission, especially when you've been serving in the ministry for a long time. It's easy to develop cynicism because, man, the ministry is dealing with people, and nothing breeds cynicism like working with broken people. But it's important that we clean out those aspects of the structures and the systems, and even us as people, we need to be careful that we're getting our regular cleaning. We're allowing the Spirit to cleanse our hearts and cleanse our minds and our attitudes. Again, the idea of the wineskin had to be scraped, you know, with a metal tool, just stretched out and scraped, getting off old residue, getting off old, getting off dirt, things that old stains. God's refining work works the same way. It can be uncomfortable at times. I mean, the conviction of the Holy Spirit is not a pleasant thing, and it can confront our egos and our pride, but we have to submit to that process to experience the full renewing, I think, that God wants to bring to us. You know, one of the other aspects of the wineskin, because it was an animal hide, the rigorous stretching that was required. And I think God will expand our capacity to carry more of his purpose, but not without stretching, not without allowing things in us and things in our church, things in our ministries to be stretched and put through the ringer to make sure that it's operating at its full potential. And then obviously immersing in the cold river waters. What a beautiful picture. Those times of refreshing that come by letting the Holy Spirit renew us. Charles, when you said at the beginning that the Holy Spirit is focused on renewing people before he helps us organize structures, I think that's vitally important to remember that pastors, we need to be thinking about our leadership and how can we facilitate spiritual renewal in their lives? How can we get them beneath the waters of the Holy Spirit just to be renewed and energized? Just spending time in prayer together, spending time in worship together, and making sure your leaders have a plan in their lives for their private devotions. That is so important to keeping the renewal of the wineskin so that the life of the Spirit is facilitated adequately. And Charles, just to pull back and look at a wider view of the church, you know, revitalization is a process. It doesn't happen in a weekend. It doesn't happen in a week. It won't happen in a month. You're talking about a good year-long journey of dreaming and praying and organizing and implementing. And the truth is if we skip that process, we're going to pour that new wine into a container that can't hold it. And the result is wasted wine. The wineskin gets broken and maybe even ruined. So, all right, we've talked about what the process looks like, the stretching, the cleaning, the scraping, the immersing, but Charles, how do we actually walk that out in our churches this year?
Well, I think it comes down to just following some practical steps that we can take as leaders. So let's get practical about it. Here's a few steps that we can take to position the church as a new wineskin. I think first of all, seek fresh filling before changing the forms. Man, I think that we're all guilty of that. let's just try a new program. If you know, the church, if the NFL is a copycat league, the church is as well. And I think we succumb to the temptation to just survey the landscape and say, all right, what's working over here? Who's successful? And we just start changing programs in and out instead of seeking a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, of being immersed in that river, of being stretched, of being renewed, of just being increased by the presence of the Spirit in our life. So much more important than just picking out a new program. We're often tempted to just choose the plug and play route. Let me just switch this out for the newest, shiniest innovation. When true innovation is coming from the presence of the Holy Spirit, we need God ideas to reach the community and the people that God has established this local church, this body to reach and touch. And that comes through Spirit discernment. Innovation doesn't come through copying someone's program in another part of the country. It comes as leaders, as we seek the fresh filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our leadership. He begins to release the mind of Christ. He begins to release the plans of God. I mean, isn't that what the Holy Spirit always does 10 out of 10 times? He always leads us to Jesus. And so I just think it would be so much more beneficial for us as church leaders to quit trying to copy and everyone else and what seems to be working for them, and to begin by seeking, before we start changing the form, begin to seek a fresh feeling and a fresh touch, fresh revelation from the Holy Spirit. Because what He's going to impart in our lives is the mind of Christ, the character of Christ. He's going to release Jesus into us, and that's what we want.
Charles, you mind if I say something about that?
Absolutely.
But you know, there's such a, I don't know if maybe the word is homogenization. I think in churches, I know Baptist churches that have contemporary worship that look like what we've been doing, you know, in our churches for years, and I know some Spirit-filled charismatic churches that are implementing aspects of more high church, the things we've attributed to high church function, like liturgy and incorporating some of that. And I'm all for that. I love the wide diversity of spiritual expression and entering into means of grace. I'm all about that. I love it. But I think you're hitting on something there that I think we've probably hit on before, because it's such a sore spot for us to see churches settling for a copycat system rather than getting in touch with the Lord and allowing Him to direct and give us, you know, ideas for our systems. And so I think that's a vital thing. I think we could probably spend a whole podcast, you know, on this subject, but I didn't mean to derail you, but keep going.
No, absolutely. You rescued me. I was getting ready to get all lathered up on my soapbox there. So let me just say this. What about instead of going to the latest conference, and I'm not against going to conferences, but what about instead of seeking that out, what if leader we gather our teams and we spend time in prayer, fasting, and worshiping as leaders? What if, pastors, we spend the necessary time to invest in our leaders' spiritual renewal in prayer and prophetic ministry? What if we began to do that? What if that began to be elevated instead of just circling another calendar date and getting the team to the next conference? Again, strategically and choose wisely, conference attendance, those things can be great events, but not at the expense of gathering the team to spend time in prayer. What if you didn't go to a conference this year, and instead you replaced that with a spiritual retreat with your team? What if instead of going to the conference, you found a place to retreat to as a team, and you spent the weekend or the week praying, discerning, letting the gifts of the Spirit flow among the leadership team and renewing the team in prayer and prophetic ministry. What if that became an annual rhythm in the life of the leadership of the church? You know, so just something to ponder, putting that out there to maybe consider and process with your team. The second practical step we can take is to evaluate our structures honestly. I think honestly is the key. I think we all tend to evaluate, but let's evaluate our structures honestly. Do your programs still serve the mission, or are they just the bottle? What a great picture you gave us, Bruce, of the bottle or the water. Are we trying to give the bottle, or are we trying to give the water that's life, that's within the bottle? At some point, you know, you have to replace the programs. Are they serving the mission, or are they just kind of their function? Listen, there's every church has those programs or those mechanisms that are just holding on by a thread, and the reason that is because no one is honestly evaluating the structures, the delivery systems of the church. Those need to be updated. Those need to be cleaned, and they need to be restretched, and they need to be recalibrated. And but that only comes as we evaluate those structures honestly.
Third, Charles, I was thinking. I'm sorry. I'm going to insert myself one more time. When you said honestly, when you said evaluate structures honestly, I can't help but think that nobody wants to do that in church. We want to evaluate things nostalgically. Yeah, we want to evaluate structures loyally. We people love their traditions, and I love mine. Don't get me wrong. Sure. That's a hard buy-in, I think. But again, it's so necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. I was having a conversation yesterday with a senior minister, highly respected, and been a great friend to our family for many years. And we were just talking, and he began to talk about a delivery system that has historically been highly effective, especially in our faith tradition, in the Spirit-filled Pentecostal charismatic world. And he began to talk about the fruit that they've seen over the years through this ministry structure, and kind of reliving the good old days. And man, it was great to hear. It was wonderful to hear the stories and the powerful moves of God through this system and this particular structure. But then he said something that was just even more amazing to me. He said even up to 10 years ago, we were just seeing wonderful fruit and a mighty move of the Holy Spirit and many people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. He says, but I tried utilizing this system and this structure. And I'm being intentionally vague and trying not to show my cards here, because I don't want a bunch of hate mail. But he says even a few years ago, we tried this again. It says nothing. No one came. No one showed up. No one participated. But you know, within the community, he said it was. And so we thought, well, maybe it was just kind of a one-off. So we tried it again. So, and what we found is that system or that ministry structure is no longer working in our present day culture that we're living in. And and this is a man, again, a senior minister. He's retired, and I just thought, Lord, thank you for his wisdom. Thank you for his flexibility and pliability and his understanding that he's not married to a structure. He's still actively seeking in their church where, that he's a part of and still serving, is actively seeking new delivery systems to still get the life of Christ to people, to get the message, the living water to the people of the community that they're serving. But they're trying new methods and new ways. And I was so grateful and so thankful. I thought, Lord, what a wonderful example you placed before me today of someone who could be so tied to a program or to a method that they refuse to allow the message of Christ and the gospel of Christ to effectively be shared. But what he did and what they have as a church have done, they've evaluated their structures honestly, and they came to the conclusion that this particular structure is not serving the mission. It has turned into us chasing the bottle instead of chasing the life and the water that we're trying to deliver. So anyway, that was a long way to say I was just so thankful for his honesty and for his transparency yesterday that serves as a great example for all of us. A third practical step we can take is to continue activating fivefold ministry and leadership. So in other words, identify who carries which gift. Then once the gifts are identified within the church, now begin to equip the gift, train the gift, and release those gifts into ministry. So we want to continuously activate fivefold ministry and leadership. And then a final practical step we can take is to create flexible systems. So that means allow room for spirit-led shifts without losing clarity. So our systems, again, should serve the vision and mission of Christ. And we have to, as we design and create and implement those systems, we have to allow them to be flexible. They can't become rigid, because then that becomes counterintuitive to their purpose. But if we can keep those systems flexible, then they can flex, and the church can flex as with the movement of the Holy Spirit. And we can't neglect the personal side of this either. We want to allow the Holy Spirit to stretch us personally, to cleanse us, to scrape us and immerse us in the water of His Spirit. We must never forget that church revitalization begins in the heart of the leader. So if you're leading in a Pentecostal, charismatic, spiritual context, look, you and I, we have the advantage of believing in the Spirit's active work. That should not be a hard stretch for us. Lean into that. Lean into that reality. Amen. The Spirit is actively working. The goal is never just numerical growth, but it's Spirit empowered transformation. Those are some great practical steps and ideas that we can reflect on, that we can begin to implement. As we're kind of bringing the episode to a close, as we wrap it up, a great question as we're thinking about practical steps and practical advancements, here's a question for you to consider, for maybe in your next team meeting, for the team to consider. What's one shift, or what's the one posture that will make the biggest difference for a leader stepping into this new wineskin season? So that's a good reflection question to begin to think on, begin to pray through. What's the one shift or the one posture that could make the biggest difference for you as a leader, for your existing leaders, as you're developing new leaders, as they're stepping into this new wineskin season? What's the one shift that you can begin to make?
Well, leaders, today we've talked about more than revitalizing programs. We've talked about letting the Spirit revitalize us and becoming the wineskin that's ready for the new life of Christ in us, in our ministries, in the different systems of our church. And as Charles said, that means willing to be stretched, to be cleansed, to be scraped, and to be immersed again in the refreshing waters of the presence of the Spirit. Remember, this isn't just a leadership strategy. This is a spiritual invitation to go deeper, to take in God's work in your life personally. And God is calling his leaders to be flexible, Spirit-filled wineskins that can carry his presence into a desperately hungry and thirsty community and world. So don't miss the moment and begin preparing now for the new life of the Spirit to flow inside you. Here's what you need to do this week. I'm going to recap just everything we've talked about. Number one, pray. Pray daily, pray often. Ask the Lord to make you a vessel that carries your life-giving water. Spend time on your own spiritual renewal, and that means spending time in prayer, spending time in the Word. And as Charles said, evaluate your structures and your systems and your programs. Are they helping you deliver the water, or are we just feeding people a structure? And then one more thing to do. Identify one step that you can take in the next 30 days to become a more flexible, Spirit-filled leader. And if today's conversation stirred something in you, please share this episode with another leader. Have a conversation about what your new wineskin could look like. And if you don't already, subscribe to the Five Gifts podcast so you don't miss what's coming next. Now, before we wrap up, I want to leave you with this question to reflect on. What part of your leadership wineskin is the Lord calling you to stretch or to clean or renew in this season? Take a moment, pray about it, and we'd like you to share your response in the comments section. Your story might encourage another leader who's listening today. And if this episode blessed you, we've asked you to subscribe to the Five Gifts podcast, but share it with a fellow pastor or ministry leader who could benefit from this, maybe a staff member that you could share the link with and help enrich and encourage your church staff or maybe your peers in the ministry. Remember, you can connect with us on social media for more Spirit-led leadership resources. You can also visit us at fivegifts.org. And we'd also love to hear from you. So please reach out to us on social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. You can even contact us through YouTube. And if you're ready for coaching, we've put this out several times. We want to put it out again. If you're ready for coaching, and that's whether you lead a church or a nonprofit or a kingdom-centered business, we offer customized coaching for individuals and fivefold pastoral leadership teams. This includes one-on-one coaching to help you clarify your personal call, to strengthen your systems, to engage in team strategy sessions, to align your leaders, your priorities, and the growth rhythms of your church and your staff. You can schedule your free discovery call now at charlesrusselltraining.com, charlesrussellministries.com, or coachingcardia.com. And now remember, God fills people before he forms structures. Deliver the water, not the bottle, and be ready for him to pour out new wine in your life and in your church. And we'll see you next week right here on the Five Gifts podcast. You've been listening to the Five Gifts podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.